You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Our team just started an account on Nextdoor, and scrolling through the feed, I see a white rug for sale, a picture of a roaming chicken, an ask for a nanny recommendation. And I also see a post about somebody attempting to steal license plates in the neighborhood, a picture of a person described as, quote, not mentally stable, and a warning that someone might be thinking of shooting up a local school. Now, none of these claims have been fact-checked, and I have no idea if the people posting them are, in fact, in my neighborhood. And that's not unusual. In his new piece for The Atlantic, Seattle journalist Eli Sanders writes that Nextdoor stands out among other social media platforms for a big moderation problem. The story examines how Nextdoor user posts resulted in a misinformation campaign in a Mercer Island City Council election. And Eli Sanders joins me now to talk about that story. Hi, Eli. Welcome back to Soundside.
Thanks for having me on.
So how does Nextdoor work for somebody who's never had an account? What's it like?
Well, Nextdoor is like a lot of social media platforms in the way a user interacts with it. You have an account, you make a post, it goes into something called a feed that's seen by lots of other people, and an algorithm sorts the posts from millions of people all over the country into feeds. But where Nextdoor is different is in a couple ways. One, it is a siloed experience. So you, as a Nextdoor user, are supposed to only be putting up posts that are viewed in your neighborhood, and you're only viewing posts from people in your neighborhood. Real people in your neighborhood is the promise. And this creates a kind of hyper-local experience. That's what Nextdoor is going for. It will leave, you know, the global communications and national communications to the Twitters and the Facebooks. It wants to be the platform that you go to when you have a rug to sell in your neighborhood, or a question about what the smoke is that you're seeing two blocks away, or something like that. And so it is a siloed experience if it's working. The other thing that is unique about Nextdoor is the way it moderates content. It relies on 210,000 volunteer moderators. That's people like you or me or other Nextdoor users who say, okay, I want to volunteer my time to Nextdoor to police the content on its platform. Nextdoor relies very, very heavily on these moderators. A very small percentage of its moderation effort is done by algorithm compared to what the moderators are expected to do for no pay and with no training required. And so when you start to understand the qualifications for the moderators and think about the different impulses that could lead someone to become a Nextdoor moderator, you can see the potential for problems.
Yeah. And let's talk about a case study in our own backyard here on Mercer Island, which you reported on in The Atlantic. Your story centers on a former city council campaign. Who is the candidate in this campaign, and what happened when she ran for city council?
So the candidate who the story begins with is named Kate Acuse. She's a Democrat on Mercer Island who was running her first campaign for political office. Very common story. Got, you know, interested in what was going on in her community, got upset about some issues, decided to run for city council. And she was opposed by a city council incumbent, Lisa Anderl. And they had a very closely fought and intense and expensive for Mercer Island election contest in 2021. In the primary, Kate Acuse won by 471 votes, which was a surprise and an upset. And after her primary victory, as she described it, the misinformation exploded on Nextdoor.
And what kind of misinformation did she see getting posted about her campaign?
She saw a few different types. One was posts that were just false. For example, there was a post that went up saying that Kate Acuse had been endorsed by Seattle socialist Shama Sawant, which was not true at all, and linked to a kind of smear that had been circulating on Nextdoor Mercer Island about Kate Acuse wanting to bring Seattle-style homeless encampments to Mercer Island, which does not want Seattle-style homeless encampments, and neither did Kate Acuse. So there was the false endorsed by Sawant post. There were also posts that Kate accused saw being taken down that were supportive of her campaign and that she felt should not have been taken down. And she was not the only one to observe this. Other people did as well. And so the general theme of the concern was that posts that were damaging to Kate accused's campaign were left up, and posts that were damaging to Lisa Anderl's campaign were taken down. And that had the net effect on Mercer Island, a small community that doesn't have much of a newspaper left and doesn't have any television station serving it, with a lot of misinformation about its city council election. And the feeling among the people I spoke to was that this affected the outcome of the race. Lisa Anderl ended up winning the city council election on Mercer Island by 1,000 votes in the general after losing the primary. In between the primary and the general, the people who are concerned about this say this misinformation campaign really harmed Kate Acuse and was either conducted or abetted by Mercer Island volunteer moderators on Nextdoor.
And you can report on this because you spoke with some Mercer Island Nextdoor members who were moderators during this election, and they actually kept track of what was being posted and who was approving or reporting these posts. What did they discover? I understand they wanted to remain anonymous in order to protect their privacy, and it's understandable because this is a very contentious issue. What did the moderators you spoke to discover as they were keeping track of the information being posted about this city council campaign?
They noticed exactly what Kate Acuse and others were noticing, that there seemed to be an agenda behind a lot of the moderation decisions during this hard-fought general election contest. And so they started keeping screenshots and a spreadsheet and sending emails to Nextdoor raising concerns about what was going on. Emails that were as clear as, you know, Nextdoor is now interfering in this election, and that's a very undemocratic thing, and please do something about this.
And they really had to go to extraordinary lengths to even get attention from support staff at Nextdoor, right? I understand from your reporting that one of these moderators emailed the CEO, and that was the thing that seemed to trigger a response from the company. What did the company eventually do about these alleged bad actors in the moderator pool?
It is not entirely clear how seriously the company took this, because Nextdoor did not respond to repeated requests for detailed information about what went on. It sent minimal responses to my questions for this story. But the moderators did send emails, and one of them sent an email to the CEO, as you said. And shortly after that, that moderator heard back from a Nextdoor support staff member who started taking the complaints seriously. But the taking seriously of the complaints all started happening months after the election had ended. It started in February of 2022, when one of the moderators, who was still very concerned about what fake accounts and biased moderators appeared to be doing on Mercer Island, wrote and mentioned that they were now taking down posts related to Black History Month with no good justification.
Wow.
And that appears to be what triggered a more serious Nextdoor investigation, which ultimately led to a total of 20 Nextdoor moderator accounts being taken down on Mercer Island. And the support staff member who corresponded with the moderator said in an email that these accounts appeared to the support staff member to be fraudster accounts.
Is this issue of moderators appearing to make politically biased decisions unique to Mercer Island, or are we seeing this in other communities where Nextdoor is influential?
It's not unique to Mercer Island. I found this in communities across the country. There were complaints in a forum for volunteer moderators on Nextdoor that Nextdoor recently shut down, but there were complaints from moderators in this forum from all over the country saying, we have a problem with fake accounts. We have a problem with biased moderators acting out their political preferences rather than a neutral sort of moderating of the platform. There was a lawsuit filed in a small town in Michigan a couple years ago by elected officials suing their own constituents who they said promoted false information on Nextdoor that had sunk a local ballot measure to increase services like police and fire services by raising taxes. They felt that the Nextdoor misinformation had sunk this ballot measure and they tried to sue over it. This lawsuit was unsuccessful, but it describes the concern in another community in Michigan. There was a similar concern in Petaluma, California. There are examples of concerns like this all over, and it's not surprising given the trust, and this is Nextdoor's word, that Nextdoor relies on in order to grant the power to its volunteer moderators that it does, and just human nature. If you are a moderator in your community, are you always going to be perfectly neutral, especially if you're not being paid and you're not really accountable to this company? Or are you going to be tempted to slant the reality for your community and for a particular political agenda?
Let's talk about the information vacuum issue, because you write about Mercer Island's lack of local news media and just the depletion of local news media as a whole in communities across the country. What's the bigger problem here when it comes to people being hungry to know what's going on, and yet when they look for things online, there's nowhere to find quality information?
Well, let me give you some numbers that really paint the picture on Mercer Island. Mercer Island has a population of about 25,000 people. About 15,000 of those people are Nextdoor users. Mercer Island has a longtime local newspaper called the Mercer Island Reporter. It is down to about 1,600 paying subscribers. Compare that number, 1,600 paying subscribers, to the 15,000 people who are Nextdoor, and you can very clearly see the scope of the problem, particularly if Nextdoor is not taking its responsibility for conveying truthful information about local elections seriously. And in communities all across the country, there's the phenomenon that many people have heard of, news deserts, where struggling local media have just disappeared due to technological changes that have undermined their business model. And what fills that void is social media. And Nextdoor has positioned itself to really fill the void for hyper-local media. So as you suggested, people who don't have local newspapers, who don't have a local radio station or a television station covering their community, turn to Nextdoor. But Nextdoor is not paying journalists. It is offering people an opportunity to just speak about what they are observing or feeling or thinking, and it's offering volunteers the opportunity to moderate that content. So the potential for misinformation is very, very high.
I want to recognize that moderation is a problem across social media. I mean, other sites with paid moderation still have misinformation that, you know, spreads like wildfire across the feeds and causes all kinds of havoc in our information ecosystem. But this issue of volunteer moderators on Nextdoor and the siloed nature and hyper-local nature of this is something different that I hadn't considered before reading your story, Eli. Just a final thought here. I know you actually pursued becoming a moderator in order to discover how simple it is to be a moderator on Nextdoor. What did you find?
I found that within a day, I had become a moderator on Nextdoor, despite not having much of a track record at all on Nextdoor. I wasn't required to go through any training. I wasn't required to do anything except start voting as a moderator if and when I wanted to. And you bring up a really important point about the uniqueness of Nextdoor's volunteer moderator system. I also want to nod toward its potential, because I did talk to experts, including one who really pointed out, you know, in the ideal, having local people in a community moderating the local content could work really well because they understand the norms and nuances of their community a lot better than, hired hands at a content moderation farm, maybe in another country. That is what a lot of platforms like Facebook or Twitter rely on. And so the idea of volunteer community moderators could work, but this expert I was talking to pointed out perhaps the problem is the volunteer element. Maybe you need to have these people actually be paid for their labor so that you can have some expectations for their behavior and some consequences if they don't behave. The problem is start multiplying 210,000 volunteer Nextdoor moderators throughout America by the salary that you would have to pay them, and it really changes the economics of Nextdoor's business.
Yeah. Eli Sanders, journalist and writer of the Wild West newsletter. I'm a subscriber. He is also a Gates Scholar at the University of Washington School of Law. Thank you, Eli, for walking us through this and for your reporting. It's really fascinating and troubling, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And research for Eli's story was funded by the University of Washington Center for an Informed Public using a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation. Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.